the Business on RTE Radio 1 with Bank of Ireland, supporting businesses during National Enterprise Week this November 14th to 21st.
Well, staying with technology, Intel has been a big employer here in Ireland for a quarter of a century. My next guest has just published a book all about the colourful past of the corporation and its founders. Robert Noyce, the son of a preacher, Gordon Moore, whose father was a sheriff, and Andy Grove, a Hungarian refugee. The book is called The Intel Trinity. Michael Malone, these three men, the Intel Trinity, as you call them, what brought them together? Did they have shared interests or similar personalities?
Very different personalities. It's interesting. A few years ago, I wrote a big book about Hewlett-Packard. And one of the things I noted in the book was that Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard never seemed to have had an argument over the course of 60 years. They not only worked together, but their families vacationed together. The perfect partnership. When I looked at Intel, I realized that these three guys had completely different personalities. They really didn't get along. And when they did get along, it was in unexpected ways. So the relationship was very touchy all the way through. Bob Noyce is arguably the most charismatic figure in Silicon Valley history, even more than Steve Jobs. In fact, he was sort of the father figure to Steve Jobs. Deep voice, a man's man, you know, jumping out of helicopters to ski in the Canadian Rockies, flying his own planes.
He nearly killed Steve Jobs in an accident, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a very close moment when the plane didn't take off the runway very well, and Steve Jobs was saying, he was imagining the headlines, you know, founder of Intel and founder of Apple killed in small plane crash. That would have changed the course of history. But Noyce was arguably the luckiest guy any of us has ever seen. I mean, he took gigantic risks, made it all look effortless, and won every time. In fact, he made it all look so easy that that was one of the reasons that Andy Grove didn't particularly like him. First of all, he thought that Noyce was a lousy boss, because Noyce was too easy. He never fired anybody. He never disciplined anybody. He thought that Noyce was too irresponsible because he had these enormous duties and responsibilities to thousands of employees, and yet he treated life as a game. Gordon Moore, a very studious, soft-spoken, brilliant scientist, a real gentleman. Not strictly speaking an entrepreneur. If he hadn't joined Intel, I doubt he would have ever started a company. And Andy Grove, the Hungarian immigrant, brilliant, ferociously ambitious, aggressive, competitive.
When you look at the three guys, Noyce, Moore, and Grove, they all came from fairly working-class backgrounds, and you emphasize the ordinary and interesting backgrounds that they came from. What difference do you think that made to the success of the company?
Oh, very much so. My favorite generation. I've lived in Silicon Valley 50 years now. And that early generation of chip guys, semiconductor guys, you got to remember, semiconductors, we think of it as an electronics industry, but it's really a chemical industry. And these are guys that have dirt under their fingernails. They're in the early days of the chip industry, it was sort of like watching Mad Men. They drank a lot. They chased skirts. They took giant risks. They wrecked their cars. They were wild men, but they were real earthy types. They were the sons of blue-collar workers. When you compare that to the modern generation, the social networking founders, they're the children of professional people, and they're very different. They're a lot less down to earth. You can see the backlash going on against some of their arrogance. These early guys, they weren't that way. They had struggled through the Depression, and they were willing to work hard.
So you mentioned there was a bit of a backlash now against some of these companies. What do you mean by that?
The buses. There's a lot of there's been attacks now on the Google buses. These are the anonymous buses, big silver things that pick up employees at 6 o'clock in the morning on some anonymous street corner in San Francisco and drive them down to Google or Facebook and one of those companies down in Silicon Valley. People are throwing rocks at them now.
Why?
I just think they resent the arrogance. Some of these new generation of social networking types have really kind of have the attitude that we're self-made, we've earned this money, we deserve it, and kind of a sense of superiority and not a lot of humility. And that's there's a natural backlash to that. And you just didn't see that in the 60s and 70s in Silicon Valley, even going into the 70s and 80s with like Steve Jobs at Apple. These guys kind of downplayed that stuff. They understood that other people might resent this kind of overnight wealth. I just don't see a lot of that amongst the San Francisco social networking crowd.
If you look at Intel, they have a huge part to play in the success and the technology success of that sector in Ireland. And they've invested billions in plants and operations in Kildare here. But if you look at it, you've studied the company from its infancy right through. We're always a little bit scared that maybe there'll be some kind of a downturn or that it won't be competitive and they might move location somewhere else. Do you think people in Ireland should be worried about that?
No. There's a long wave in tech that most people actually aren't around long enough to notice, but it's about 20 years, and it's a hardware-software cycle. And we're coming to the end of a software cycle that began at the beginning of the dot-com boom in the late 1990s. We all remember the dot-com bubble, and then we're seeing the current social networking bubble. During periods when software is an ascendant, you tend to have small, fast-growing companies. They tend to have the personality that you see of places like Facebook. And what I'm seeing now in Silicon Valley is that the age of code is beginning to take the back seat now, and ascendant is the world of drones and wearables, like medical monitoring devices, autonomous vehicles, robotics, 3D printing. These seem to all be the wave of the future. And hardware, if software belongs in the city like San Francisco with young code writers, hardware is really the province of Silicon Valley, San Jose, Palo Alto. And it's a world of slightly older people with families and mortgages and all that. It's much more grounded and down to earth. So I think we're about to see that shift again. Interestingly, while the software era plays well to Intel because Intel is making all the chips that go into all the servers and the whole internet infrastructure, hardware works even more for Intel because if you look at every one of those drones, you look at the smart watches, you look at autonomous vehicles, they're just filled with Intel microprocessors. So I actually think this is, if Intel missed the last turn on mobile, I think Intel's in pretty good shape for the next one. So if I was working at Intel in Ireland, you know, there's always going to be the 4-year cycle, and there's no getting around that. The chip industry has its ups and downs, and it's basically every 4 years of boom and bust, and there's going to be, you know, expansion, then there's layoffs, and expansion and layoffs. That's not going to go away, but I think in the long term, the next decade is going to be very good for Intel.
Well, Michael Malone, the book is called The Intel Trinity. Thanks very much for joining us on the program.